Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year. It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarino on KOAL 750 AM.
Last night, the regular season for the NBA came to a close. I know Jazz fans have got to be excited about that. You don't have to watch tanking anymore. I think the best part about it is now we know the 20 teams that are going to be representing. Play-in rounds, rather, are on their way in the Western Conference. Phoenix, Portland, Clippers, Warriors in the Eastern Conference, Sixers, Magic, Hornets, Heat. That's what we have to look forward to now. And joining us over the phone to talk about the playoff landscape, we have our NBA analyst, James Holis, joining us right now. James, great to get you back on as we get set for playoff basketball.
Ready to go. Let's rip it. And the Orlando Magic might be the most embarrassing team in basketball.
They very well may be, and we get to see them Wednesday night as they take on the Philadelphia 76ers. How do you feel about that play-in round matchup?
This is basically like the, it's called the toilet bowl, I guess. Philly, obviously, without Joel Embiid, they've had their ups and downs, a lot of downs, very flawed team. They look like they're almost at the end of a certain era. Somebody has to change this summer because they're not contenders. And Orlando, on the opposite spectrum, a very young team that was all roses and pink bubbles coming into this year, and we had so much promise. And they've been they've fallen flat. This is a disappointing team all around. And that loss to the Celtics C squad was just like the icing on the cake, man. So but both teams just trying to back into the playoffs, and they're going to be disappointed no matter what.
And I think down the stretch, when you look at the Eastern Conference, be it Philly or Orlando, the last week had very meaningful basketball. One game separated the 5 seed all the way down to the 8 seed. One game, that's what separated it. That was important basketball down the stretch.
Yeah, it's all about the margins, right? It's all about trying to win the margins. And let's be real, both teams dealt with injuries and missing key guys for big chunks of the season. So big basketball was played and little basketball was won. And now, I think all these seasons are going to come to an end with a whimper, not a bang.
Okay, let's jump over to the Western Conference. Tomorrow night, we get Phoenix and Portland. The Blazers were a team, James, that I know you were really high on going into the season. I don't believe this team is a disappointment. In fact, I think if you're a Blazers fan, you got to be happy with the direction things are heading. They get that 7th and 8th place matchup going up against the Phoenix Suns. I don't think you could be disappointed with this.
Yeah, you know what? All progress isn't linear, and this is a step up. They were abysmal last year, a lottery team. Last couple years have been really bad. They're over 500. They have a chance to make the playoffs. Scoot Henderson like a real player these last few weeks. They have some intriguing pieces. They have an all-star and Denny Avia, even though I think he's more of a whatever. He's not a real all-star, I don't think. But they have some kind of silver linings in Portland. So definitely not a failure. Maybe not the splash they wanted to make, but that's not a failure at all.
And they get Phoenix right out of the gate. You like this matchup?
And same thing, right? This is almost the opposite of the Philly and the Orlando matchup. Both of these teams probably punched a little bit above their head, especially Phoenix, right? After the disappointing season they had last year, to actually be in this position, like no one thought Phoenix would be here. This is a team that we're going to see effort. We're going to see some hard basketball, valiant effort basketball. And it might not be great to watch, but we got some star power. Devin Booker is a legit all-star, so I'm definitely looking forward to that one a lot more than the Eastern Conference game.
I'm looking forward to the 9-10 matchup between the Clippers and Warriors.
Absolutely. Star power galore. Steph and Kawhi are two of the best in the game. We also know the story behind it. The Warriors are definitely in the swan song era, right? The sun is setting on the Warriors dynasty. No one thinks either one of these teams has a lot left in the tank. Right, not a very high ceiling. But with Steph Curry, you have a gunslinger's chance. With Kawhi Leonard, who when he was playing great was top five player in the league this year. Like, they're dangerous. They're going to be at least intriguing to watch. Are they going to really make anybody above them shaking their boots? Probably not. But this is why we have the play-in, a little more intrigue to the playoffs.
Yeah, what play-in team would you be most – I guess which play-in team are you most likely to give an endorsement to as to someone that can maybe make a little noise? And by a little noise, I'm talking about not getting swept once they get into the postseason, maybe taking a series 6-7 games. Is there a team that you look at and say, well, if I got to give an endorsement, I guess it would be to this team?
We got to say the Hornets. The Hornets have legit been one of the best teams in the league, like top three team in the league since January, right? They start off abysmally, so the fact that they have 44 wins is like, you know, record-wise, statistically, metric-wise, they've been literally one of the best teams in the league since, you know, early to mid-January. So they don't have any experience. They don't have a real vet presence. And, you know, LaMelo Ball is the ultimate wild card. But if look at the other teams, it's got to be the Hornets.
I know I'm going to sound like a diabolical hater for saying this. I can't stand watching LaMelo Ball play basketball.
Yeah, it's not like a hater. He's definitely a street yard, like a street ball, TikTok, viral, hey, look at me kind of player. The efficiency will never be there. He doesn't play defense. But, hey, look, he's 6'8". He has a hair trigger shot. He can make plays for others. If he really ever gets serious about this game, like, he's going to be a really, really good player. And as of right now, he has so much talent that he overcomes a lot of his flaws. So not my favorite to watch either, the antics and the gimmicks and all the other nonsense. But we can't deny he's been the stir that stirs the drink that the Hornets have been over the last few months.
No question. No question about it. Again, James Hollis joining us right now as we talk NBA playoff basketball. James, let's flip over to the Western Conference. There was actually a really important game last night between San Antonio and Denver. The Nuggets get the win. They close off the regular season with 12 consecutive wins. And more importantly, they grab the 3 seed, putting them opposite of the Oklahoma City Thunder, but this also means there's a good chance the Spurs are going to get the Nuggets by the time we get to the second round. When you look at the outcome of last night's game, would it have been hugely beneficial for the San Antonio Spurs to knock off the Nuggets and get the Lakers potentially in the second round, the Lakers or Timberwolves, rather than the Nuggets? I mean, is that a costly loss for the Spurs last night?
It definitely can be. Like, sure, you got to face the best teams eventually in the playoffs, but they made their path almost infinitely harder, having to go through, the path they have to take, going through Denver. And I think that now they're on the same side of the bracket as the Thunder, too, correct?
No, the Nuggets are on the same side of the bracket as San Antonio.
Okay, I'm sorry. So either way, yes, absolutely, because the Timberwolves, while they're dangerous and they're big and they're rugged, they're built for the playoffs, it's a whole different ball game, right? They're not the Nuggets. I mean, Nikolai Joker is, to me, think he's still the best player in the NBA.
Yeah,
first player ever lead the NBA in rebounds and assists in the same year. Still a scoring machine. He had a down month when he came back from his injury, but other than that, he's been great. 100%. And this is, you know, hey, the Spurs again weren't supposed to be here. Folly of youth. I don't think we can. There's no kind of. They still have an A-plus season, but yes, this is one of those things. They controlled their own destiny, and they didn't make it happen.
Yeah, and I have to believe that the big winner last night was Oklahoma City, knowing that they don't have to get through the Nuggets and the Spurs, because let's be honest, the Lakers, the Rockets, the Timberwolves, anyone else in the Western Conference, I don't believe they're a legitimate threat to the Thunder. The only two teams that are going to press OKC over the course of a 7-game set, I don't care if the Lakers have Luka, Austin Reeves, and LeBron. It's a horrible, horrible matchup. So last night, by San Antonio losing this game, the Thunder come out smelling like a rose, I think, as far as their path to getting back to the NBA Finals. They're only going to have to run into one San Antonio or Denver. They don't have to get through both.
Absolutely. I mean, for all the talk that we had about the Thunder early in the season, when they looked a little mortal, right? The Spurs beating up on a little bit. But 64 wins, still absolutely dominant on both sides of the ball. Shea better than ever. The chances of them repeating are very, very high. So, OKC, hey, you got to be good and you got to be lucky. And this is a little bit of luck for the Thunder.
Let's also talk about the Houston Rockets, because while I've not been impressed with this team all season long, fact of the matter is they're going to get a banged-up Laker team in the opening round. On top of that, they did close out the regular season winning 9 out of 10. And I think that's the other story in the Western Conference. When you take a look at the top half, I mean, the Thunder won 7 out of 10. The Spurs won 8 out of 10. The Nuggets won 12 straight. The Lakers won 7 out of 10. The Rockets won 9 out of 10. Like, this is good basketball being played by the top five teams. Obviously, health matters, and when you look at the five teams that were playing the best basketball in the Western Conference, the Lakers would be the odd team out, but what about this Rockets squad, who is, as healthy as they could possibly be right now, right, looking at winning 9 out of their last 10 games?
It's just really wild to think that, one point guard. They just had to sign a point guard, trade for a point guard. If Fred VanVleet could have came back sometime this round, I would feel so much better about Houston, but this is who they are, and after such a tumultuous, probably in the middle of the season, right, the slog got to them a little bit. The burner gate with Kevin Durant, but they've seemed to have righted the ship a little bit. Still have a dangerous playoff performer, Kevin Durant. Still have a lot of talent. So I'm with you that it's OKC, then a step below that, there's Denver and there's the Spurs. But the Houston, sure, not a contender, but they could probably make somebody sweat if they get a good playoff run, a good playoff momentum push started.
I know we haven't talked too much about the Eastern Conference. To me, it's Boston or it's Detroit. Now we know the paths, right? How good do you feel about the Boston Celtics and where they're at, knowing who they have to go through and what it's going to look like if it is a collision course with Detroit in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah, I feel on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give it a strong 6.5 or 7, because I just know that at the end of the day, some of these guys that have been producing really big for the Celtics, the playoffs are just a different animal, and we might see a slip in production. The lights might be too bright. Jalen and Jason are going to be great, but can the rest of the guys pull the load that Drew Holiday and Chris Porzingis pulled and Al Horford pulled in the playoffs? That still remains to be seen. And look, I can't say we can't discount the Knicks. I'm not the biggest Knicks fan. I know they've had their ups and downs. I know they've been kind of Jekyll and Hyde. But, again, they have shown that they have the king of clutch in Jalen Brunson. They're deep. They have big, rugged wings. They have shooting. They have a big man who can eat feast on the boards. They kind of are kind of built for the playoffs. So I'm not the biggest fan, but I can't – until Cade comes back, we see he's a fully 100%. I'm going to give the Knicks – they're right there, too.
I think it's Boston. I think that's who comes out of the Eastern Conference. In fact, I feel confident enough right now to call my shot. I'm going to say we get the Celtics and the Thunder in the NBA Finals, and I'm going to take the Thunder to win this in 6.
I can't argue with you. That's actually it's very big praise to Joe Mazzulla and the Celtics, because no one, even a month into the season, would have figured that they'd be the 2 seed, one of the best offenses of all time. I think they're like a top 3 or top 4 offense of all time this year, with Jason Tatum just starting to round into form. So it's all gravy for me with the Celtics, and you know what? I'm going to run with your optimism. Let's go.
Celtics Thunder, that's what you like in the finals?
I love it. You know what? I gotta be a fan. I'm going to call it, too. I can't give the Knicks so much credit. So, yeah, Celtics Thunder, and I'm going to say Celtics take it in 7.
Let me throw one more thing out there, because we haven't talked about the Lakers too much. I know they are a team that has a little bit of intrigue, right, with a 41-year-old LeBron James leading the way going into the playoffs. I don't necessarily want to talk about what LeBron can bring to the table. I don't want to talk about, can they get out of the first round? Can they beat the Rockets in a 7-game set? I'm going to tell you what is more jaw-dropping for me, that a 41-year-old LeBron James is the healthiest player on this Laker team going in the postseason. How in the hell does this happen in 2026?
It happens because Luka had to play like an MVP for months. It happens because Austin Reeves is trying to show that he's a little bit brittle. And it happens because LeBron James pours $1 million+ to his body every year. So kudos to him. Kudos to them. But this is just a case of horrible luck. And when you build your team around, I mean, let's be real now. We can say it. Guys who have a little bit of injury history, Luka's always banged up. Austin Reeves has dealt with these same kind of things over the last couple of years, just kind of injuries pop up. And those are your very top-heavy team. This is who the Lakers are. And so kudos to LeBron. It's going to be a nice little Jeopardy question in a few years about, you know, him being at this age and doing what he's doing. But reality is going to smack the Lakers in the face. They're not going anywhere this year. And another year down, and the clock is ticking on LeBron James in Los Angeles.
He is James Holas, always kind enough to join us. James, I know you're still on social media as the playoffs gear up. Where can we find more of you?
I might try to pick it up a little bit. At Snotty Drippin', homage to the great Scottie Pippen on all social platforms. But really, if we're talking basketball, it's going to be, I'm still calling it Twitter, it's going to be on Twitter. So, yeah, come check in with us. And let's get ready for the playoffs. Let's go.
Appreciate it. As always, James, thank you for the time. Can't wait to do it again.
You are the man. Thanks for having me on, brother.